and Deb Rees, experts in business, leadership and lifestyle.
Skilling your softy to a success for you. Emotions are your value, and your value is your business. UK Health Radio.
Boom! We're in and we're up and running, and wham, we are here, and what a show do I have for you today, listeners. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your listening here. It's great to have you here. It's great to be back. I mean, you know how much I love being with you every week. Absolutely. UK Health Radio, here we come. Do you know what? I'm out and about today. I'm out in the field. I mean, I left the house about 6 a.m. this morning and I've travelled. Well, it may seem like I've travelled to the other end of the country, but actually it's only a couple of hours down the road. But when you live in stick country, anything outside the lanes feels like you've travelled somewhere for sure. But you know what? I have an amazing show ahead of you. The reason being is I've got probably one of the most special guests that I've had in ages. Every guest is special, but this one has certainly done the life work that we love to hear about on the show. You know, we are about business, we are about emotions, we are about wealth, health, and all those beautiful things that come with it. And you know, this week has certainly been that test for me. I mean, you know, I spoke in the previous shows about, man, how I've had to really dig back into my pipeline. You know, I did leave it go, I did leave it slack, and these things happen in business. You know, I put all my attention back into my dear wife and what she needed for me. And you know what? You just got to be a bit of an octopus. You really have. You got to reach you, you're there and everywhere, listeners. And that's sometimes how life goes. And I'm not looking for a pity patter here. It just was a tough time, you know. These things happen. But you know what I'm like? Get back out to my bike. I need that exhaust. I get back out there, bury myself, get that outlet, and boom, up and running again. Bah, talk about up and running. Now, here's the thing. There are a few directions we go in life, you know. There's a direction that can take us into the questionable place of, do we actually fit in society? Then there's a direction that takes us to the place of, we absolutely fit in society, but do we fit in ourselves? Then we have the direction of, wow, what an amazing life, but I don't feel whole. You know, there are so many versions for every human being out there, and they all have their own emotional and spiritual fingerprint. We all have our own biological fingerprint for a reason, because from that fingerprint, we map out our own maze of life. We map out our own ideas from what we feel are our surroundings. And this is poignant for our show today. Now, you know what? It's for me, this is just such... I just paused there because, you know, it's a rare time that I get to have in front of me someone that has a multiverse of emotional resilience to bring a message back from the darkness of life into the light of the future. And that person sitting in front of me right now is the amazing Stephen Gillan. I want to bring him in and give him a huge round of applause. Say, Stephen, firstly, thank you.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you for coming on the show here today. You know, let me be clear here. You are a very sought-after person. You are interviewing all over the world. You're about to go on a UK tour, September?
Yes,
September. You know, you run your own business called Raw Media. You run your own formula called the Resilience Code.
Yes.
Okay, and you know, like I say, there's films going on, there's a film about to happen. You've got, I think, two books, and we're going to talk about that, and a third, possibly. And then I asked you, do you mind if you do an interview for nothing?
Yeah.
I remember the phone call went, Paul, I can give you 10 minutes on the phone now. 25 minutes later, he said, I'll send you a date.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Oh, Paul, listen, we've had a real ball here today. Thanks for coming to our studio down here today so we can hang out, do some filming, do some wonderful interviewing and, you know, and get the message out to people out there. And that's what it's all about.
You know, Stephen, let's talk about your past. We're going to do this because this, and I know I've seen the media. I've seen how much you've gone. You've interviewed and, you know, you're on tour. So this is something that, this is a record that keeps going forward for you. But I just want to dip into it, you know, from the age of wow, from the age of 9, I'm probably lower than that. You know, you witnessed, actually from a very young age, you witnessed some of the most, you know, severe events in life, from people dying in front of you to, you know, living in Ireland, in Belfast, experiencing all those 1970s, then become, you know, part of a gang, then become part of organized crime. And you were also considered one of the most, I'm going to say, scariest maybe, okay, individuals in the country, you know, where you were, if I would say, a double A-list celebrity in the crime world.
Well, a lot of them things are true. And of course, we have to own this stuff, you know, to get better, right? You know, and to do more and be more in life. And, you know, of course, this is the mission of life. It doesn't give us what we want. It gives us what we become. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's the learning for all of us that we would do better and become more for others, of course, is the thing, to make things better. I mean, I started in a very dark place. So, you know, I was kind of forged for that and positioned for that. So born here, taken over to Belfast, 6 months old, Paul, left there by my biological mother. Of course, seen a lot of really explosive violence there all the time as a child growing up. And my surrogate mother died there of cancer when I was 9. So, you know, I was sent back to England. I was the little boy with the case on the boat going to this alien land, really, you know, with absolutely nothing, really, really full of fear. And, you know, of course, over to, and expectation, mm-hmm. you know, and of course, over to London. And then it really started going downhill.
Yeah, right? How do you think, you know, this might sound like a kind of off the wall question, but how is it when someone's involved in that, in that severity of crime, that they don't see that what one is doing is not fitting in society, that emotionally, physically, mentally is just not the right thing to do?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And this is the real dilemma out there and the real paradox of it. But it's the conditioning, Paul, mm-hmm. is the easy answer. You know, and at that point, you don't really know any different in a way. You're forged by these traumas. You know, as I went on further, I went through a lot of brutal children's homes, mm-hmm. foster homes, all of this stuff. So there was that migration of being groomed then and being very susceptible into petty crime, but very, very serious organized crime really, really quickly.
Wow. How do you find forgiveness? Bear in mind, here's the thing. You know, people could say, I'm about, you need to forgive the people that, you know, suffered from those days of crime. But how do you find the forgiveness for how you were treated from that child, that early child in those children's homes, being battered round, you know, and being kind of almost thrown out of society because you were skilled at being a criminal? You know, let's understand that, you know, society makes that wrong because it means that we're effectively taking from, as we spoke about it in our series earlier, is that society deems that as the incorrect thing to do, but you were actually a victim.
Well, it's really, really interesting way to put it, because look, if we're looking for a solution here to stop this stuff repeating, which is what it's about, right? Is you have to, you know, I mean, certainly me, was finding the forgiveness in myself first for the anger that I felt, because mm-hmm. in many ways I was positioned and then pulled and shaped and then forged for, you know, by forces outside my control.
Yeah.
Certainly. Yes, there was good things in there. And of course, you know, when we're all trying to survive in life, you know, we take what we can to survive, especially as a child, if you don't know any better, because I didn't have the instruction really, you know, that I needed. And, you know, that went from bad to worse, of course. So too many young people kind of feral in that way, or who have to look after themselves mm-hmm. and are discarded and abandoned. They're, of course, they're really, really susceptible to falling into, you know, a bad crowd or being groomed or, you know, not having strong, healthy role models there to guide them. Yeah. and show them the way that they're really meant to be going.
And let's, you know, the resilience code that you've designed and you've invested in heavily over these years is really a formula that's shaped to work with those young minds and mature minds, you know, you're both directions here, that are lost, that do feel, you know, that have become a victim of their own, I'm going to say, you know, loneliness, you know, because of abandonment and all the other things that we could say make up that first ingredient that gets mustered into that, we could say, that little pearl called crime.
Well, look, there's a few things here, right, you know, and I'm going to really condense it right down. You know, I've got a book that's coming
out. I love how you do that, by the way.
But, yeah, well...
you do. You pull it in.
But, Paul, I've learned, really, probably me who has wasted so much of his life, one of the big learnings was the most precious commodity is time. It's not money or any of these things. Mm-hmm. Money can come and go. Mm-hmm. Even relationships can come and go.
Yeah, yeah.
When time goes, we don't get to get that back.
Yeah.
So, you know, that really focuses the mind then where we ask the right questions. Okay, who do we spend it with? How do we give value? What do we do to elevate in the right ways with the time that we have?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm a real... have a real awareness for that. So, yeah, you know, I mean, to give some value here quickly, you know, and it's there's a new book, The 9 Laws of Transformation, which is coming out, which really goes into detail about this stuff. Many people say, okay, Steve, you know, these are two ends of the spectrum. This metamorphosis, it really doesn't go together. You know, you're like this arch, you know, criminal who went to prison for 17 years as a, you know, category A inmate in the East End, you know, involved in all this, you know, high-level organized crime. But then in 2019, he was also... nominated for an International Peace Prize. What's the middle bit?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, how does that go together, right? But look, here's the thing, right, just to get to it again. One of the things is we need to understand how the machinery works for us, and that's mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, because we don't actually know how this hard world works. So, you know, it's just beyond me how we would think then to carve a real strategy that is progressive.
Yeah.
You know, and keep repeating that if we don't know how the mainframe works in the first place, so we could use it appropriately. But here's the thing. When you're looking at environmental forces and different things like that, one of the true learnings of my transformation, you know, from this terrible darkness into what I do today is what we find to get real meaningful change is, you know, we need the strength, we need the opportunity, we need the circumstances, we need the timing. Usually sometimes we need the intervention. But what happens is when we're trying to get this meaningful change, we may have 2 out of the 5. Or maybe 3 out of the 5. Of course, it doesn't work for us because what we need is all of them to come together.
Wow, yeah.
And when they come together, then it's baby steps in the right direction. Baby steps turn into giant strides, you know, and meaningful change then is really, really possible. So there's no good and bad here, but this is why for a lot of us, you know, we may have two of the 5 or whatever, and we're thinking, God, you know, why doesn't it work for me? And then the negative, you know,
you know,
the negative stuff comes in the door, but that's not the truth. Yeah. But here's the real gem in this. Knowing that, we can engineer and position for these forces to come together.
Yeah.
And then this is part of the trick to real exponential growth really quickly.
I tell you what, and again, you know, I've said this to you many times today. I'm in disbelief of the volume of wisdom that comes out of you now, that I believe was always there. Let me ask a very almost hideous question,
hideous.
Yeah, yeah, right, and it is because it's like, oh, really, Paul,
no, please
ask
go
that,
for
but
it.
I want to go for it.
I like the big questions, Paul.
Thank
Bigger
you.
The better.
Did it feel good being a Category A prisoner, or did you feel shame to a Category A?
That's a very, very intelligent question. And the sure answer is both. You know,
that's a fire of emotions.
Look, when you're in the Serengeti and they've branded you as a lion,
yeah,
then you need to be a lion because you're in the Serengeti.
Oh my God.
Wearing that badge of a lion is going to protect you in the Serengeti.
Yeah.
Because, wow, there's a lion. Stay away from him, right? So there's that. part of
you
it.
You were to stay away from personal.
Absolutely. Anyone with the big red A and all the rest of it on the door, they have something. You know, I mean, the definition, look, you know, the definition of a Category A inmate, high security inmate in the UK penal system is someone who is highly dangerous to the public, the police, to the security of the state, and whose escape must be made impossible. So this is the definition.
You must have worked really hard to go against the emotional grain of who you are as a person. Let me say that again. You must have worked hard to keep going against the emotional grain of who you are, which is who you are right now. This person in front of me is the organic part of you. This is the truest part that I've seen of a human being in many years. You've had to swim against that current to bring this person to the light, to the world, with the intensity. So it means all those years of intensity in being part of that criminal empire, it took endurance to keep that going. Because somewhere, Stephen, in there, you must have known that wasn't you.
Look, this is the thing, you know, there's been many interviews, and you know, tens of millions of views really across platforms and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, some of them the biggest in the world that you know have asked some great questions. You're asking some amazing questions, by the way, Paul. And you know, it's straight to the quick, you know, which is where it's at. And truth is, I was never that person. But they say, oh, you're mad, you're bad, and I've been called all of these things mm-hmm. and worse along the way, right? Mm-hmm. But you know, the truth will I say, but no, you know, it's just I had the timing, the strength, the circumstance, the help, the intervention, all of these pivotal elements I'm talking about to find my way back to myself.
Okay.
Right? Because we are limitless choice and possibility human mm-hmm. beings. And this is the other thing, you know, that's another paradox, and it's quite dumb for all of us when we position ourselves like this, is the truth is that we are limitless possibility of choice.
Yeah.
Within the field, of course. But of course, if we don't know how the mechanics work, even mm-hmm. the emotional capabilities that we have, we get caught in this loop and we reach for the worst case possible scenario. No, but think about that for a minute, just to pay attention on that one point. So if we keep repeating this, I mean, think about all the other limitless mm-hmm. possibilities to craft other outcomes we could be choosing.
Yeah, I see that.
I mean, it's complicated, but it's boringly simple too, really.
Well, I love the way that you took that huge ocean of thought into that little pinhead of, well, that's how easy it is, really. But it wasn't.
No, it's certainly not. But the reason why I do that, Paul, is, look, even for me and human beings, we find we need to go through this complexity, but really, what really absorbs and works best for us is when things are simple. Mm-hmm. And some of the very best things are simple, right? Really, because the penny drops with that. So we need to tailor stuff into something that we can really, you know, absorb and understand.
Right? Okay, and you know, so coming just dipping back into some of your past, there is that you moved to London when you were 9 years old, and you, of course, your mother passed during that time, if I'm correct.
Yeah, my surrogate mother. Yeah. I mean, my biological mother, she's still around. We have a much better relationship nowadays, you know, happy to say. Of course, like anything, we have to work at this as human beings. But, you know, there was a long migration that was mm-hmm. really hard for everyone concerned mm-hmm. on that journey.
You know, We it's common that, you know, we get hero stories out there on a daily basis. And, you know, your business, your business, Raw Media, is one of those businesses that does really focus on the hero's journey and how you can put them to market to be something beautiful and special. You know, you do have that way of being able to sense out, you know, those people that have got those journeys there, because you have this journey. Now, but here's where I want to go with this. There are some journeys that can come and go. There are. But you came and thought, you know what, when I come down, my journey is going to be a little bit different because it's going to have a shelf life that goes for many lives. Now, that's the difference with your story, is it has a multiple life. If you see what I mean by this, in a sense of, it's so extreme. Going from that place of mind that place of business, which was organized crime, because, you know, I've seen some of your interviews, and I don't wish to go too heavily into this, but you were up and seen and practiced time with some of the most, if I say respected names within, you know, the criminal world, including Branson and am I right in thinking that's the right name?
Yeah, Bronson, Charlie, Bronson, Charlie, yeah. Bronson. All the notorious names of the day, Paul.
Now, the reason why I bring that in is that you must have been a good business person to get yourself at the top of the inner circle of that. Now, please bear with me this, because this isn't about you got to a place where it was the highest place of hurt. What I'm saying is that it takes critical thinking to be able to get yourself to that place where you become the top shelf of where you are. Now, we are repeating this again, but here's the thing. You're paying back into the emotional economy. You're paying back into the life currency. You're taking yourself back to the top of that circle again, because you want the message to be put out there that this isn't the life. This isn't where we want to see our young, mature, or lived people to go in life. Crime isn't the place to go. But we also know that, you know, crime, dare I say it, is a very skillful thing. You know, I'm going to say that because I'm not talking about the people that suffer from it. I'm talking about it takes skill to be a criminal.
Look. Certainly takes a special kind of cleverness, right, is what we're looking at here. Yeah. You know, there are many forms, you know, of cleverness. And, you know, you are right in what you're saying. You know, having to, you know, navigate, you know, a place where it's very life or death, mm-hmm. at the sharp end of it, yeah. consistently takes a certain kind of being, yeah. right? You know, mm-hmm. No matter mm-hmm. what you do.
Yeah.
There are a lot of transferable skills, mm-hmm. but you do need to have certain unique skills, mm-hmm. you know, which mm-hmm. are forged together,
yeah.
that will help you navigate, yeah. through something like, yeah. that. We're not just talking about surviving, we're talking about rising up,
yeah, yeah.
you know, and navigating,
wow.
which is something just a little bit, you know, a little bit more. But look, you see, I'll say something else on this. Of course, you know, crime is wrong, and mm-hmm. You know, I've certainly paid for what I've done, as I should have done, you know, and I've been I've been against a lot of this stuff now, and changing lives as we do to make the world and society better for everyone,
yeah.
you know, so we can all find these solutions and be more. But you have to go to the truth, the brutal truth, to find the most expeditious solutions of stuff.
Yeah.
So saying that, you know, there are some very, very talented people in their life,
yeah.
you know, who could have turned their hand mm-hmm. to anything. They could, yeah. have been captains of industry. Yeah. Not that many, to be, to be blunt.
Yeah.
But certainly a selection, yeah. you know, of, yeah. them that could have been anything that mm-hmm. they wanted to be. And I always say this is such a shame, because for whatever reason, you know, and of course I had my own journey of this, that they had to visit the gutter to find their own honor and self-respect.
Wow.
This was part of the, yeah. part of the journey for them,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
The learning.
Such a profound thing to say. And I'm going to take us straight into our first commercial, listeners, and thank you for being there. When we come back, of course, Stephen's going to call out some of his contact details, and he's going to call out the details, of course, for his resilience code. And we're going to see you in about 90 seconds. Happy days.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Happy days! We are back in, listeners, and thank you. And of course, we will the amazing, the beautiful Stephen Gillan. And it's fantastic to be here. You know, you are a beautiful man, but remember, let's remember also, behind every beautiful man is a beautiful partner. And we will give that lady a mention later on. But right now, we promised, as promised, listeners, pen and paper's ready. And how do we find you, Stephen?
If you Google me, I mean, there's so much out there.
You
could be out there for weeks or months really going through the content and the
It's like
you
know, a big Jubilee stuff. Party. You put your name in and you're everywhere, man.
Well, we've been at it a while now, happy to
you'll
say.
You'll have your own bunting soon, you know, I don't know.
We've been privileged enough to, you know, to still be here and, you know, been adding adding value, you know, to many, many people's lives around the world. So, you know, that's the name of the game. But, you know, my personal brand is Stephen with a PH Gillen, GILLEN.com. You know, but our company, of course, which is Raw Media Creative, we're branding experts. We build brands there, but we're also very big in book to film. We develop TV series, long form, short form content. You know, we're worldwide with that. And we love lifting people up. Really, you know, engineering their monetization and really showing them how to get the best, most impactive, rapid success on their journey. It's a great, you know, we've been doing this a while now, award winning, and you know, of course, about 450 plus businesses, personal brands, and other people that we've worked with, and some amazing people.
Well, let me jump in and give you some credit because you Nikki Bright is a very good friend of mine, and she's one of your clients, and you know, she's someone that's very well known in my part of the world, and she loves you too. I remember her talking about you both when I was, you know, because I worked with Nikki for some years as a coach and things. And I remember when she did an interview for me and she was telling me about you two guys. It's funny, isn't it, how things go around. And I'm finally here. But what I will say, anybody, if they want to shout out for Raw Media, absolutely. It's an amazing, beautiful company that really does care about the heart of who you are, not just the product you put out there. And I've seen that from Nikki Bright's growth and everything. It is amazing. Well done to you guys. Coming back in though, and I want to come to the tour, the resilience code again. We touched on all those things, but I also want to come back to, you know, this pivoting point that we talked about when we did our episodes earlier, which was that point of going from dark to light. Now, you know, it might sound a little cheesy. It might sound to some as like, oh yeah, whatever, you know, we got enlightened. But there was a point where you were 5 years solitary, is that correct, in prison. So what does that look like?
Oh, it's hard to explain to people who haven't unfortunately had to go through something like that. But you're 23 hours a day. Don't forget, that's the least of it, really. You know, because I've done a very hard prison sentence. I was in units, and I didn't get on with the staff there. And there was a lot of violence. Of course, all the gang stuff from outside was brought inside. So you know, a lot of terrible stuff. I mean, which is not worth mentioning. But you're talking about a really desperate place there, right? You know, the real mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually redundant, Paul, and really being tortured in them areas all the way through, right? You know, I mean, it's very scientifically proved that people, you know, deteriorate after too much of that. It's like captivity. If someone was kidnapped, and if you think of, you know, about it like that, we're talking about the effects to the soul.
Would you have considered yourself being emotionally bankrupt at that time?
Oh, 100%. I mean, look, you know, I did say to you earlier, I'd done 12 years straight as a Category A prisoner, released as a Category A prisoner, which is extremely rare. So, you know, going through a sentence like that, I never thought I would get out. You know, I didn't know what a future was. Of course, you're stripped of absolutely everything, and you're at your most basic human place. So, you know, I used to a lot of Walking Dead, Paul. You know, you'd feel that all emotion was sucked out of me, and it was for me to survive that. You know, and I even knew I'd really turned into a really ugly, damaged person.
Oh, bless you. I almost want to give you a big man hug. Do you know what I mean? It's just when someone says that, and you are just listeners, this man is saying that with such genuinity, so much heart, when you say these things. You know, it's just surreal. But also, the life was surreal.
Yeah, I mean, look, excuses are like judgments. Don't do it. It gets us nowhere. You're just wasting time. You know, I'm not that guy. It is about owning stuff, but it is about getting to the brutal truth. And of course, you have to own that You know, I've always learned the quicker we do that, the quicker we get to solution, and we don't go back there.
Yeah.
Right, you know, so, you know, if you want to hurt the organism, stop doing it.
Oh, wow.
Right,
yeah,
do you know
yeah,
what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Yeah,
I'm
yeah.
telling you, right? So it is like that, right?
Now, did you have these philosophies whilst in those times?
And I have to say, when you're going through it, it's impossibly hard. Because it's not that I couldn't do it or I didn't have the mainframe or the skills to do it. It's just my conditioning and my nature and the timing of my life was not right for me to be open enough to have that knowledge and be able to do it. Right?
Wow. I mean, it's almost if it was such a perfect storm. You were in this place going through this life experience and now you've come out this other end, and this has been, we are some years, we are 6 years, is it, something? Since you actually came out of prison, and...
Oh, no, we're 15 years plus now.
And how many years have we been Raw Media and Resilience Code and things?
Well, Raw Media, it's a labour of love, which is Scott. Decades of experience behind that, right? You know, I mean, we've got Daphne DeLucci, of course, my, my partner and co-founder here. Is a, you know, amazing history. She's done such amazing work as well with Nikki Bright.
Oh, she's such a talented individual.
It has to be said. Oh, yeah, you know, especially with Nikki. You know, she's done so much there with Nikki. So, yeah, this is the thing.
You know, let me come in this, because here's what I want to go to with this, is that you came out and you were intelligent, emotionally intelligent enough to take all that reverse, we could say, social acceptance and turn it into what is now a highlighted message. That takes skill. Because here's the thing is that it takes a certain type of emotional delivery, wisdom, and human being understanding to take the brutalness and turn it into what is a message for the greater good of humanity.
Oh, yeah.
You did that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you see what I'm saying? It's
look,
massive.
Look, I have to say as well as this, Paul, yeah, you know, I get that. But look, for all of us, we have to understand it's a work in progress, this. You know, and I said this before, it takes a village to bring up a child, like it takes a dream team to keep shaping a message that's going to change the world, you know, and it's very true, you know, of everything that I do. And I, you know, I'm life really beat me up so much. I told you this too, Paul, and it needed to get me to really get it, which is a, you know, excruciating process. But when you come out the other side of it, you get it and you're very grateful for what it's left you with, which is the real stuff. So I never go for that I'm different or special. It's more a conduit, you know, and a real big part of that, Paul, I have to tell you, is always being open to learn more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, always being, not from anyone, but from the right people at the right time in the right way, you know, but being open to learn more.
Yeah.
This is very important.
I keep dumping these kudos in until you actually take them, which is, you know, you have to be very thick-souled to go what you went through and then become a transparent soul in order to create the attraction, the emotional attraction that the Resilience Code is getting. Your UK tour is selling out. People are coming there because there's a mix, and there is. We are very curious about what those lives look like because we're not in it. You know, it's a sharp edge of intensity. So there are people that are going to come because they're very curious, but there are people that are coming there, Stephen, because they want to understand your transition so they can take it on themselves. Then there'll be those who just want to understand the philosophies that's created this transition from, you know, that, I say again, that armored soul to becoming that transparent soul. Do you think that transition is available to everybody that goes through the severity of, and everybody's severity is relevant. Doesn't matter whether you're category or whether you're you know, petty crime, or whether you're just someone that's hurt in life. You do think that that transition is available for everybody?
Look, you know, 100% unequivocally, right? Yeah. You know, and the thing is, look, you know, we are vessels as human beings, and we pack all this stuff in there. You know, epigenetics even shows it goes all the way back. We have really defined science, you know, that proves, you know, the migration of all this stuff. Okay, you know, knowing that, you know, how do we change it? There are ways to circumvent that, you know, and go in there, you know, and really change it. It's kind of funny in the way, you know, and I liken it to, you know, when you're taught martial arts, in a sense, it's the mechanics of the body. Mm-hmm. But what you find out is that how you're actually, you know, moving is the wrong way. You need to be moving the opposite way, but because you're trained that way, so it's very uncomfortable and awkward what you need to do to. So it's basically we have to unlearn, you know, to relearn. Wow. But the thing is, we need a lot of support to do that. You know, we need someone who has been there before, you know, and their answers need to be experiential, not third party. Or, you know, I heard a man who heard a man who says, I mean, this is rubbish, obviously, right? So that's a big reason why we created the Resilience Code. But, you know, I'd been through the mental health, I'd been through the addiction. Of course, there was the behavioral problems, the, you know, there was the, you know, the poverty, the environmental stuff. It was all there, right? You know, now, any one of these things, not many people come back from, unfortunately.
And you've created a very affordable opportunity, because I love, what I love about the Resilience Code is you've done something where it's accessible to people in life that haven't got a great deal of money. You know, and also, and I'm going to say this, I love that you're in there at that grassroots level, because you go in, is it weekly drop-ins you do?
Look, I go in there weekly, we do a live, and I have to tell you, the wonderful people we've got in there, there's just so much exponential growth in there, because I cut the fluff.
Yeah.
All their businesses are coming up, the whole lot. But I go right in and I start at the foundational stuff.
Yeah.
Because this is where the real root causes and keys are. And when you get that mindset shift, but you understand how the machinery works, then of course we can put formulas and strategies in there that work for exponential growth.
Yeah.
So it's really as easy as that, but there's a lot of consistent you know, work in there that, you know, facilitates that. But look, just to put it really, 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 really finely, is we're not that important, are we? You know, what we have or what we do is not really that important. It's great to have these things and achievement and all that, but we're only borrowing this stuff.
We're borrowing from our children. Figure that.
Look, we're only borrowing this stuff. Yeah. And here's the thing. You know, when we go on our cycle of towards, you know, the golden years and the end of our life, what was so important will become much less important. I mean, I'm wise enough to know that. Until it's not, you know, until the end when it's not important at all.
Yeah.
And we really get it. What are we left with then? These are the questions that I ask myself, because we're looking for the tangible assets that are, you know, legacy. Now, to me, what we leave, the work, the lives that we've touched, the memories we have with our loved ones, all of that, this is what we will take with us. This is what will remain. I mean, it's, you know, it's a no-brainer. Wow. But obviously, when we kind of, you know, I got really peeved off, because there was so much about this coaching thing. And there was business coaches who had never had a business.
And there was
people teaching people how to be successful who wasn't even successful themselves.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, this is just not right. How can you teach someone to be successful if you haven't worked it out for yourself?
Well, that's the coaching industry for you right now. Do you know what I mean?
Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, it's a mess. The coaching industry is a mess.
So, and they're charging amazing amounts of money, right? So I thought, the real kind of, not the crime, but the real thing here that needs to be improved, you know, we certainly felt and I felt, was for the serious who really needed a chance, you know, out of all this stuff, they should be given an opportunity. Because one thing I always learn is, if you want to help yourself, good people will turn up and help you too. But if you're not someone who has a great attitude and is willing to do that, then not a lot's going to move for you, right?
Yeah.
So that was the whole emphasis. And, you know, we've got the Resilience Code there, our VIP group, and amazing, you know, amazing growth there for everyone. Accessible, affordable to everyone. I mean, it's, you know, the price of a few cups of coffee.
Yeah.
And the value is really something.
It's beautiful. And what we're going to do, your listeners, we're going to jump into our final commercial, a quick 90 seconds. And when we come back, we're going to get Stephen's details again, and anything else, any juicy contact details we can get so we can get out there, get to see him on tour, and everything else that comes with that.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Oh, happy days. Oh, happy days. Yes, we're in. And of course, you are UK Health Radio with Paul. And of course, the wonderful, amazing, handsome, drop dead gorgeous. I mean, he's got boot there. If I had hair, I would hair like you. I mean, Stephen Gillan, of course. And I've been at this studio all day with himself and his amazing, beautiful, stunning lady. He is punching above his weight, listeners. He truly is. But yeah, we've been here sort of chatting away all day. I've been in envy of his Italian shoes and all these other little things he has here. And even got to meet some of his family. It's fantastic. And, you know, and here we are. And that's the bit for me is like, yes, this is a human being that was dehumanized. But thankfully, you were dehumanized because now the human being part of you is twice the human being that is offering twice the life to people out there. Please take them kudos, because we can sometimes have negative modesty, and people think by being modest you're actually being good. No, negative modesty is also a strangler of what is future growth. So, you know, please take that. And it is, it's hugely important. And, you know, I want to talk about, you know, your books for one. We haven't really touched on your books, so tell me about the two existing books.
Yes, we've got the Monkey Puzzle Tree, which was the book of my life. I wrote both books myself. One of the things I'm happy to have a skill at after all these years of working at it is writing. Right?
You know? What was the second book?
The second one is Injustice, Love and Honor. Mm-hmm. Of course, the first one, you know, has been optioned. It's going to be a film, and you know,
you just skimmed through that. It's going to be a film.
Yeah, there's just so much going on with this. I mean, so much in the press about it all the time. It's a big budget movie. There's all kinds of stuff happening. At the moment, the latest thing, of course, is the writer's strike in LA, right?
Yeah.
Right, so, you know, I mean, it is what it is, but we're very advanced with it, obviously. I do a lot of different TV work. There's a lot of current stuff out there. There's always stuff going on. My next book coming out, though, The Nine Laws of Transformation, yeah, is very dear to me because it's that condensed knowledge again. And I'm really going for it there because it is about changing lives. And this is a kind of a testament to me and my life in a very special way. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm going to make sure I'm very, very proud of that, and you know, it's engineered in the right way.
Do you know what? If I had those books and that and that backlog coverage, I'd be milking the guts out of it. You know, and I wouldn't have I wouldn't be as modest as what you are. Trust me, I'd be flying it like a highlighter pen. And I'm not saying that's right, but here's where I am with this: is that your message cannot get big enough. It cannot get big enough. Any restriction that stops or doesn't allow that message to extend another generation is going to be a disjustice to all the years that you invested in your life so those people can get to experience the resilience code, can get to experience your tours. Because are you touring abroad also? Is that correct?
Well, look, we've done a media tour in North America, Canada, just last year. Done all the breakfast shows there,
wow,
coast to coast. You know, big stuff. You know, of course, I've been on all the platforms here. There's a lot more press going all the time.
Because you are...
There's a few coming up, you know. Piers Morgan and a few other ones.
What, can we say that?
Well, I've said it, you know, we're talking to their producers, you know, and I've been for a while, so
Piers Morgan, would that be like a head-to-head thing? I mean,
well, this is what I asked for. I mean,
you're a brave man, do you know what I mean?
Look, I just missed Piers about 18 months ago, Good Morning Britain. You know, I was meant to go in there, and, you know, news moves very fast. It just didn't happen. But I always, you know, I thought, well, I'm going to come back around, you know, and 18 months later, of course, we're all in a different place. But, yeah, Uncensored, I've been talking there with them for a while. Look, I did say to them as well, I said, look, I'm happy to do it, but as long as I can go into the studio, Andrew Tate style,
yeah,
and we do it head to head,
yeah, yeah,
just to give it justice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to be ready for him, right? You know, I've got a lot of respect for him.
Yeah.
Very, very intelligent guy, like yourself, Paul. But this makes for the real stuff.
Yeah.
So you know, I don't have any hidden corners. So that's my strength. You want to do it? Let's do it. But, you know, do your stuff. You know, ask your questions.
But here's the thing: is that there is a lot of files in there that people can't know about. There's a lot of folders of information that you have that cannot be released.
Yeah.
So there's definitely a sensitivity from one world to the other.
Yeah, look, absolutely. I mean, I played by the rules of that life. You know, when I come out of it, I mean, I'd seen through that life, of course, you know, for a lot of years. And so I you know, when I come out of it, I wasn't beholden to anyone.
Okay.
But of course, there's a big archive of stuff in there. But it doesn't do anyone any good to mm-hmm. bring this stuff into the light.
Yeah.
You know, it's about improving things. Mm-hmm. And to stop the destructive stuff that was going on before. So I let sleeping dogs lie.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's the best thing.
Do you think, Stephen, that you get a respect for that? Not in the sense of the sensitivity, but the fact that you've come out of that place and you are creating a better opportunity and shape for people. Do you think that that community is saying, well done to you?
Look, in many ways they do. You know, I know that for a fact, all right? You know, but it's... You know, and I'm not the guy. I would never make my name on anyone else's mm-hmm. back. It's mm-hmm. it's not about that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but I own my own story, Paul, and my mm-hmm. own narrative and my own experiences like any human being. It's just about really packaging them in an authentic way.
Yeah.
That, you know, authentic, skilled way,
yeah.
You know, and deliver them for the right reasons mm-hmm. to make things better, mm-hmm. which is what... Yeah. We do, and of course, I've put a lot of time and energy and investment into doing.
Yeah, it is. It's your authenticity, your integrity is so knitted together. Wow, really. You know, I just put this back out there. So, of course, Stephen Gillen, you can find him anywhere. I mean, I found you on LinkedIn. Mm. I mean, and you replied to me. It was fantastic. And then you listen, you know, listeners. That's humbling. Someone at your level would give me that 10-minute talk, 25-minute talk, and then invite me here for the day. And that was through LinkedIn. You know, but the resilience code, you put it in there, you'll find that. I have no doubt. Yeah. And, of course, let's go to the UK tour. How do we get there if we want to get tickets?
Look, you know, we'll put a link underneath the podcast
for this.
Paul, if you want to help people. Look, it's always so much better to really meet people,
mm-hmm.
you know, invite them into your world, you know, get into theirs, you know, so you have that moment to speak, you know, and understand each other. It's on the 2nd of September. It's Stargate Entertainment.
Yeah.
Is the promoter and all that. I mean, they're doing a lot of celebrities on there. If you go into their mm-hmm. their website, you can see there's many people from David Icke to other big celebrities, right? Doing tours in there. Mm-hmm. Of course, I'm one of them. And it's going to be in Kingston in London
mm-hmm.
On the 2nd of September. You know, there's the red carpet event there. There's, you know, photographs. There's all kinds of stuff. And it's called Stephen Gillen Ready to Talk.
Wow,
and
the reason I'm gonna have to get there, man. I've got to get it.
Well, this Ready to Talk thing, it is because, look, you know, there's a lot of really great stuff going on in that evening, right? Yeah. You know, the tickets are selling out really, really fast. But, you know, I've held back a lot of stuff and exclusive content, mm-hmm. obviously, which hasn't been shared before. So we're really going to go there with some of that stuff.
Yeah.
But you've got all the life lessons, the business lessons, and the inspirational stuff with a lot of really good opportunities there.
Yeah.
You know, for everyone who wants to do work with us in the future and all this stuff. So, you know, always, always great to meet people. You know,
Stephen,
I really enjoy that.
Thank you so much for today. You know, I'm going to just share this. Listeners, this man has been filming, doing clips all day. you've been at it from one camera to another, to another, to another all day, you know. Wow. It is. I've been here for the day, and you're constantly having to be in front of a camera. It is. But also, I want to applaud you for that, because the more cameras can get in front of you, the bigger the message, the more people you're going to reach. Thank you for giving your time, your soul, your heart, and above all, your spirituality. It's absolutely beautiful. You're an amazing man. I do love you to bits. Well, not as much as your partner, obviously, because she's far better looking than you. But I do love you to bits. It is. It's wonderful. And listeners, until this time next week, Stephen, thank you.
No.
It's been appreciated. Really.
Paul, listen, thank you too. Thank you for the invite. You know, there's some real lovely gems in there. There's some amazing stuff that we've done here today. You know, I've been really, really privileged to invite you into my world here so we can share some knowledge to all your wonderful listeners out there. Thank you again for this great opportunity.
Happy days, beautiful listeners. Until this time next week, keep safe. Be lovely, enjoy who you are, and of course, breathe the air that you deserve. And I say bye for now, and boom! Emotion.